Radio.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, the Catholic Guy, on cradio.org.au.
Wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. Today, I want to talk about how do we find new life? How do we experience a new beginning in our life, maybe? Or how do we understand what we actually are going through in terms of finding new life? Because there's a way to keep finding new life over and over and over again. Some of us for the first time, some of us for many times in our life. I think today's going to really bless you. This is something that's really come out of my prayer and reflection over a while, and I believe is going to be something that touches all of us together. So go get your family, get your friends, get everybody a love. Sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. As I say, I think today is going to bless you. Many years ago, a Catholic priest used to ask me all the time how my personal prayer was going, and I didn't know how to answer. Well, he taught me how to pray, and my life has never been the same. It's the most important thing I do in my life. So I wrote a book called Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person that step by step helps us to pray. Have you ever noticed that so often our prayers can be just asking for things from God? And any relationship that's all about just asking for stuff is not really a very fulfilling and meaningful relationship, is it? Or have you ever noticed that so often when it comes to prayer, we just don't know what to say? Well, I'm a husband and a father of five children, and I wrote this book, Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person, for women and men like me who are busy and yet want to connect with God in some way. I would love to bless you and give you this book for no charge, for no cost. Prayer changed my life. I would not be here today if it was not for personal prayer. Write to me on this address or call me on this number, and I'll send you Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person for no charge at all. And I pray it blesses you.
We want you to have Bruce's book, Personal Prayer, for free. Call us on the number on your screen or write to us at P.O. Box 97367, Washington, D.C. 20090-7367, and we'll send you a copy of Personal Prayer.
From the very beginning of the Catholic Guy communities and to Christians everywhere, I've always said, because I've always felt very convicted of that, this is that we have a mission. And that mission is twofold as a Christian and as a member of the Catholic Guy Impact communities. And this twofold mission is this: it's to reach others for God, and it's to reach ourselves for God, that we have an obligation to reach others. Pope Paul VI once said that the essential mission of the church is to proclaim Jesus and bring another person into a deep personal relationship with Jesus where they say, he's the personal Lord and Savior of my life. But at the same time, we have this obligation to keep saying to ourselves and to keep reaching ourselves for God and keep renewing that commitment. I don't know about you, but I've committed my life to God at times, and there have been times when I've kind of fallen away from that. I've kind of allowed God to slip out of my life, and to be keep reaching myself for God, to keep putting myself in the place of being able to hear him has been very important. Well, I want to talk about how do we find new life. And in the last couple of years, I've been living between the United States and Australia, and kind of spend half my time in the United States and half my time in Australia. And in the United States, because it's such a big place, I do a lot of traveling. And a lot of times I travel by myself or I travel with others, but I do a lot of traveling. And where Australia is a far smaller country, it's also where I've come from. And so I know the place in some ways a lot better in terms of because it's such a small country comparatively. And I returned from the United States to Australia a little while ago. And when I arrived back in Australia, I'd been in the United States for 3 months, for nearly 12 weeks. And I've got to admit, I came back to Australia and I felt somewhat depleted. Now, I've never been away in one stretch for that long from people I love, from the places where I've grown up, etc. And yet it's become far more common in the last couple of years, and having a home over there and have a home in Australia and a home in the United States is kind of, well, it's the way I live my life. And you kind of, if you're depending on where you are, you miss family occasions, milestones in your children's families and friends' lives, even time with your aging parents. And you know that those absences mean that other people are going to have to do the jobs that you do. And a lot of the time that falls upon my wife, Rosemary. And I've got to be able to live with the burden that's going to put an extra weight upon a life. And for me, over these past 2 years, as I've traveled from city to city to city, I know that I'm heading out to a plane flight or a car ride, or I'm going to have meals in hotels where I'm going to be alone. And sometimes I'm alone for days where I don't see anybody that I know. And maybe a couple of times a day, I'll speak at the end of a phone to someone whose voice I actually know. It's interesting when you feel this call in your life to go and to proclaim the gospel, your heart breaks at times because of the separation from loved ones. But you know that urge to get your affairs together, to pack your bags, to head out the door amidst the tears and the hugs of goodbye, and to see if you can just convince one more person to commit their life to Jesus and to live their life in Jesus, because it's the greatest thing of all. And as you travel, you go and you live in the hope that you could just convince one more person to help you proclaim the gospel of Jesus and to commit and to help people commit their life to Jesus, because you've experienced that within your own life. We're all a bit like that as Christians. We all have that obligation, just we do it in different ways. Now, if you work in a ministry or a church, you're serving down the local parish or a church, you're engaged in something very important. Whether you stand on a stage, where you sit in a small group, where you stare at a screen on your desk, where you're packing a truck, whether you set up for an event, where you reply to a prayer request, whether you send out a tweet, whether you post something on Facebook, when you load a name in a database, whether you bank money, whether you turn a dial on a sound desk, stand behind a camera, edit a program, plan a ministry service, you clean a bathroom somewhere, you pack up after an event or a service, you cook a meal for a team, you sit with a crying person, you play a game with a teenager, you listen to an older person talk about the good old days, or you just do 1,000 other things. When you're in church work, you do it because you know you're on a mission. And it's the same for parents, isn't it? That so many mums and dads, are on a mission in terms of looking after their children. So many of us as people in our lives, in terms of our work, our jobs, we're on a mission to be all that we can be in the places where we are, because most of us don't work in church environments. Most of us are working in our homes. We're working in our jobs. We're working within our community. Some years ago, I was working on the staff of the church, and I bumped into a woman who worked in the finance department of the church. And she was particularly ecstatic on this occasion when I met her. And she said to me that she was leaving. And I said, why are you leaving? And she said, well, I'm going to an accountant's office to work for an accountant because I'm going to earn $4.25 more per hour. And I could take you back to the place I was standing when I spoke to her, because I can still remember that thinking at the time that was not even, that couldn't even be consideration for me. Because what I've discovered in my life, dominates my life, is this thing called a calling that has come about because of an encounter with Jesus, and that Jesus said to me, I want to place you on the planet to do this. And it captured me. And there are many of us in terms of the jobs we do, whether in society, whether it's the study we're doing at a particular season in life, there's that sense of being captured. When we're a Christian, that Jesus is saying, I want you to work in this job. I want you to do this thing at this time. This is the season of your life. And in that sense, you're on that sense of vocation, calling, or even mission. Now, I wonder how Jesus felt when it was time for him to leave the Father's side. When it was time for him to come down on the earth. He had it all. He was it all. And yet he gave up everything in order to carry out a mission. And we read in Philippians, have a look at the scriptures in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 8. And it says this, a beautiful, very beautiful passage that says this. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Let's read another translation let's read another translation of this passage of scripture that says it this way. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privilege of deity of being God and took on the status of a slave, becoming human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Here is Jesus. Jesus is God himself. And here he is in the presence of the Father, and he has angels and heavenly hosts surrounding him. But he didn't take that for granted, but he emptied himself. And he became like a human being, like you and I, with all of our mental and physical and human limitations and frailties. And yet he did it without sin. And why did he do it? Because he was obedient to what the Father was asking him to do. It was his purpose to redeem humankind. To do this, he had to pour his life out. Can I ask you today, in no matter what you're doing in your life, are you pouring your life out? Are you pouring your life out? Is your life being poured out for someone else or for something that you believe that will benefit someone else? To you mums and dads, you know what it's like to pour your life out. One of my daughters has recently had a baby, and I was holding the bub yesterday, and she's just 8 weeks old, and she's just started smiling, but she can do absolutely nothing for herself. Absolutely nothing for herself. She's just there, and her mum and dad, they pour their heart and life out. They get up to her in the middle of the night when she needs cuddling, feeding, changing. Their whole life is orientated around this baby. Many of us know that, don't we? You know, there are those families that have members of the family with special needs. And there's an effort, and there's a sacrifice, and there's a love. You might work for a company with a young staff, and you realize, I was talking to someone the other day, and he said, I'm staying in my staff in my company for this reason. I could retire. He said, but there's a young staff, and I kind of feel like I got to give my life away to these young guys to set them up for their life so that they can supply for their future and maybe for their families if they have families. It's looking after someone with an illness when we pour our life out. It's serving in a church or a ministry that's trying to reach someone else with the message of Jesus. Because that's what it is about being a disciple. There's something that captured us. I'm old enough to have seen movies and read about the missionaries who took the message of Jesus to new places. They didn't just preach the gospel, and they just didn't sing songs. They planted crops, they built churches and schools and orphanages and old people's homes. They cared for the disabled, the sick and the dying. They fed, clothed and loved people of other nationalities, colors and shapes. And when all of this was done, in addition to the witness of their lives, they then used their words to tell the unmistakable love of God they had encountered, and that was within them. What dominated their life, that covered their whole life, that we read over and over, is that they had, in many cases, had an encounter with Jesus that had set up their purpose. The scripture tells us that God has given all of us a purpose in life, and a purpose now in life. And that he has designed the place where we are. He's designed the place where we are right now that we can make a contribution. And it's all come about because of this encounter with Jesus. And sometimes we can stop and say, well, I've done things in my life I shouldn't have done. I've got myself in places where I should have responded in a different way. And in that new place, God can use us and give us a calling. An event that took place in someone's life that changed their whole life. It changed them to the core. Can I ask you, have you been changed by Jesus in your life? Pope John Paul II, he said this about what it was like to encounter Jesus that gives us that calling. And I'll read it to you on the screen. If you have a look on the screen, it is just beautiful what Pope John Paul II said. It is Jesus that you seek when you dream of happiness. He's waiting for you when nothing else you find satisfies you. He is the beauty of which you are so attractive. It is He who provoked you with that thirst for fullness that will not let you settle for compromise. It is He who urges you to shed the masks of a false life. It is He who reads in your heart your genuine choices, the choices that others try to stifle. It is Jesus who stirs in you the desire to do something great with your lives, the will to follow an ideal, the refusal to allow yourselves to be ground down by mediocrity, the courage to commit yourselves humbly and patiently to improving yourselves and society and making the world more human and more fraternal, which means friendly and communal. Conversion means accepting by a personal decision the saving sovereignty of Christ and becoming His disciple. How beautiful is that? That we are invited into this relationship with Jesus. I can confidently say, I've met this Jesus. I've met this Jesus that the popes speak about. And it was someone that I was committed my life to many years ago and experienced the power and the love and the intimacy of Jesus and being able to hear that voice that said to me, this is the direction I want you to walk in. This is the way I want you to go. And God doesn't give that same direction and clarity to everybody else. That was mine. And He wants that for you as well if you would just yield your life to Jesus in such a way. I started this message by saying, I want to talk about how we find new life. And there's a way to find new life, and it's a result of that encounter with Jesus, and it's this. It's that in giving that we receive. It's in losing our life that we find it. That it is in giving ourselves away that something happens to us. And you meet people who've given away the most in their life of things that, and they seem so blessed. The starting of this television program a couple of years ago has been a great example of the blessing of God. And I don't have time here to go through the whole story, but it's just been miracle after miracle. To do this costs a huge amount of money. And to be honest with you, I don't have it. And if I was God, when this whole idea began, I would have gone to someone a lot richer than me and to a group of people. I'd have gone to maybe a place like New York or London or Paris or found someone from a place. I wouldn't have come to my suburb, because that was not my background. But we felt God say to us, because we had encountered Jesus, reach people. Because we'd had this revelation, Rosemary and I, that was going to take our, you know, that was something that we had to do. So we felt this revelation to proclaim the gospel. So Rosemary and I, we took our money from our mortgage. We went without salaries ourselves, and we employed other people. Because we couldn't do this ourselves. Oh, I don't understand. If you were able to see what I'm looking at and what's in the other rooms around us to do this, I don't know how to turn on a button pretty much. And so I needed other people. It even came down to what we were going to eat, how we were going to spend our time, because it was going to take all of our money. And through the whole journey over and over, what we found is that God has just blessed us. And whenever we've come up against a hurdle and the next hurdle, God has come along and said, I'm going to overcome that hurdle. And you know, and boy, have there been some hurdles. See, being a Catholic on a Christian television station, you meet so many Catholics that come along and say, I really like what you're doing. And you know, and it really touches my life and my family, listen. But I'm not used to this kind of way that Catholics do it. And so we're going to watch, but we won't necessarily help you financially to cover the cost. And then I meet my Christian friends, and many people write to me from other denominations, from evangelical, Pentecostal, Protestant denominations, say, we watch all the time, but we're not going to help you because giving money to a Catholic, that would kind of be strange. And I'm not saying that because I want someone to send me money. You know, we felt called to this, and we felt that we were called to have an unshakable confidence that God would do something if we poured our life out. And today, it's true. Thousands upon thousands of people are reached and write to us. To all of you who are in prison right now, who write to us, and there's a lot of you. It's great to have you with us. To all of the single mums. to the people with, dads, the people with health issues, the people with financial troubles, the people with dreams for their lives in politics and business and science and the arts, those of you who are searching for Jesus and wanting to go deeper with Jesus, you can. Whilst this has been singularly the hardest thing I've ever done in my ministry life, I'm more alive today because of it, because it's in the giving of our life away. It's been giving our money away, our time away, our love away, that you find your truest self. We still only just get by paying the bills, but God is with us. You know, and it's not how hard we work or how smart we work, as important as those are, but it's God who is at work. My task and my job is to surrender to God and say, here am I. What are you asking of me? And that's what it is for you, wherever you are right now, whether you are in prison, whether you're someone who's facing challenges, where you're someone who has a dream, it is to give your life to Jesus and to say, Jesus, here's my life. What do you want of me? And as you live that way, and as you pour your life away, God will bless you, because you can't outgive God. I've learned that. You just can't outgive him. The more I give away, the more I am blessed in God's perfect way. There's only one way to truly reach another person for Jesus, and that is to pour your heart out. And as I said at the very beginning, I came back after traveling for months all by myself pretty much, and I came back somewhat depleted. But I came back in another way, so filled I couldn't be in that place in any other way. Jesus, we look at him, he literally poured his life out. God himself became a human being. And it can be no different for the missionary, for the call person who creates the encounter for people to encounter Jesus. And let's be honest, in our own way, we're all called to be missionaries. In years gone by, the missionaries traveled by foot or by sea and to some far off place that they had never heard the name of Jesus. We know the stories that many of them initially were killed, and they literally gave their life because of what they offered people. Many of them were misunderstood. Many of them challenged structures and roles and centuries-old established ways of doing things and power structures, and people didn't like that. Sometimes they were killed because evil is a real and present danger in the world. It always has been, and it always will be. The mission field today is around our homes. The mission field today is in our countries. And particularly in the first world countries, where the gospel once dominated society and the message of Jesus dominated society, that's all gone in many places today. Today, the people who will bring Jesus to people are the very people in those countries today. And it will be done in new and it will be done in fresh ways. Where do you need to be a follower of Jesus and to give your life to Jesus right now in such a way that Jesus could use you? And as you pour your life out in your work, in your family, in your places where you study, in the dreams you have for your life, in what you're preparing yourself to do for your life, where could God literally use your life? Because it's in giving away. And it's coming to Jesus. And it's coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, here is my life. And I know in my life there are some things that I've done that I shouldn't have done. And for those things, I ask your forgiveness. But I ask you to come and be at the center of my life. I ask, Lord God, that all of what I've experienced, maybe through baptism, maybe through, you know, sacraments, if I'm in a church where the sacraments are, like the Catholic Church, that you would bring alive the reality of all of that in me.
Go to brucedownsthecatholicguide.com for the rest of this episode and so much more.
Many years ago, a Catholic priest used to ask me all the time how my personal prayer was going, and I didn't know how to answer. Well, he taught me how to pray, and my life has never been the same. It's the most important thing I do in my life. So I wrote a book called Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person that step by step helps us to pray. Have you ever noticed that so often our prayers can be just asking for things from God? And any relationship that's all about just asking for stuff is not really a very fulfilling and meaningful relationship, is it? Well, have you ever noticed that so often when it comes to prayer, we just don't know what to say? Well, I'm a husband and a father of five children, and I wrote this book, Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person, for women and men like me who are busy and yet want to connect with God in some way. I would love to bless you and give you this book for no charge, for no cost. Prayer changed my life. I would not be here today if it was not for personal prayer. Write to me on this address or call me on this number, and I'll send you Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person for no charge at all. And I pray it blesses you.
We want you to have Bruce's book, Personal Prayer, for free. Call us on the number on your screen or write to us at P.O. Box 97367, Washington, D.C. 20090-7367, and we'll send you a copy of Personal Prayer.
Well, the Bible tells us that when we have needs, that we should come to our friends and we should ask them to pray for us. You know, for many of us, this is an area where we really can give our life away. Well, sometimes it can be difficult, however, to find people to pray for us. So why don't you write to me on the addresses on your screen? And I want you to know we read through every email that is sent to us, every note that is sent to us that gets read by people, and people pray for you. And just even in the act of writing, people are praying for you and you're stepping out in faith. Why don't you write to us on the addresses on the screen and we'll pray for you. Now, if you couldn't get to church this week, or for some reason you just don't think you can go right now, I want you to know Jesus wants you to experience him, and he wants to be at the center of your life. And as you give your life to Jesus and ask Jesus to be in that focal point of your life, Jesus will ultimately lead you to give your life away. And in the giving of your life, you will find even deeper a new life. Well, that's it. We'll see you next time. And remember, wherever you are around the world today, God is never far from you.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy, on cradio.org.au.